London Calling. Except it's not London, it's Brighton Calling. It's David here. I'm in Brighton. I'm with Kate. Quite a few of you will remember Kate. You went on walks with her. A lot of people said she was the best guide London Walks ever had. Know her quite well. I knew her, I was there when she was born. She's my daughter. Anyway, she lives in Brighton now, and we've spent the day with her. And I thought, I'm going to do a quick interview because people will be interested. So over to you, Kate. I thought maybe I'll ask you first, what are your earliest memories of London Walks? You're probably about 5 years old.
I remember the phone ringing a lot. And I remember, I wasn't five, I must have been about eight, but I remember when the new leaflet came out. Me and all my friends would be gathered round to play the game licking stamps. And we would have to put stamps on all of these envelopes for people that wanted the new leaflet. And we'd be wetting sponges and putting stamps on. I also remember one time getting in an awful lot of trouble for painting the London Walks leaflet box with my friend and soaking the paint through into all of the newly printed leaflets. the leaflets were a big part of the landscape of my childhood.
And then you started going on walks. I don't know if that was your childhood or you were a teenager. And then one day you did one. Do you still, most people do remember their first walk. Do you still remember your first walk?
It was the Along the Thames Pub Walk.
Fantastic.
It was the Along the Thames Pub Walk, and I loved it. And it was September, and it was a very big group because it was September. And I loved it. I loved the first walk I ever did. I remember it very, very, very clearly.
Were you nervous at all?
Yes, I was terrified.
It gets easier though, doesn't it?
It does. It does get easier, although I think there is always a little bit of butterflies, especially whenever you're doing a new walk or whenever you're doing a new walk that you haven't done before, you know.
And did you have a favorite of the? How many did you learn in the end? How many did you do in the end?
I knew quite a lot of walks. I think I probably did knew about 15 walks by the time.
Gosh.
And there are some that are very dear to my heart. Along the Thames was obviously my first walk, so in some ways my first love. Greenwich was always, to me, is such a jewel in London's crown. But I it's very hard, and you almost feel like you're betraying all of the other walks. But I think for me, the one that always made me soft was Village in Piccadilly.
Village in Piccadilly. Mm. Well, you sort of almost created that one.
Yeah, me and Karen created it. Yeah, we created it. And me and Karen created quite a few walks. But Village in Piccadilly is the one that stole a piece of my heart.
Yeah.
I think because, there are many parts of London that you can talk about and almost touch the history that is there. But there's something about Piccadilly that is still alive in its history. So you know, shops that are 300 years old still selling in the way that there's this sense of kind of living history.
Yeah.
And it's such, Piccadilly really, and because it was so multi-sensory, that walk, like the chocolate tasting and the perfume, and it felt like a really sensual journey through London's history. So I loved it for that reason.
What really impressed your parents, and obviously your workers, or your walkers, was that you talked your way into those shops, and you talked them. These are tippy-top elite shops in Chairman Street, into letting your walkers come in, and they would show you around. And
Yeah, I mean, we were very, very, we were very, very lucky. Actually, what started that was a different walk that me and Karen were running, which started me and Karen off on the creating of walks. But originally, the idea was that we were going to do a William and Kate walk for the wedding. And I remember you being a bit sceptical to whether it was going to work or not. And I was sure that we could make it work. But we were like, we can't just do it's got to have the London Walks flavour to it. And so we didn't want to just do a gossip pages walk. And so actually we found all of this amazing stuff out about the history of royal weddings that was so fascinating. And Piccadilly was kind of their old stomping ground. And one day I was guiding, and outside Charbonnel and Walker, which is the Queen's chocolatier, and Adam, who is the manager, ran out and said to me, "Would it be okay for us to give your group a chocolate tasting?" And you know, that's heaven to a London Walks guide. That is heaven. And so he started that. And then actually it was the chocolates, probably because I wanted to keep eating them, that made us create Village in Piccadilly. Because once the wedding ended and the walk wasn't alive anymore, we were like, we can't lose this chocolate tasting. We have to find a walk. And then, you know, so many other shops in that area, I realised as I was researching Village in Piccadilly, were so special. I mean, florists, I was like, we have to get them into, you know, florists is this perfume shop where they have made perfume since the 1800s, and to go in there is actually to smell London's history, because they still have, you know, I remember I used to talk about how, you know, their perfumes, for example, limes, which is an 18th century perfume, it's really sharp and citrusy, because at the time there were so many smells that the only perfume you could wear was something that cut through, that had the notes to cut through. And then the Victorian times was all about recreating nature. And so the perfumes from then, for example, night jasmine, it smells like jasmine. It's exactly like what the art and everything was doing. And then you go all the way into the, so there used to be four main smells of perfume, and then the final main smell of perfume only came in the 20th century, at the end of the 20th century, and it's the smell of the sea. And what they said to me was that, you know, that smell wouldn't have been popular until everybody started going on a holiday and associating it with luxury. Before that, that was oysters, and you know, you wouldn't buy a smell that smelled like the sea. So like, really, it was like the history of London smell. And you know, you can smell perfumes there that Queen Victoria wore on her wedding day. The bit I used to love the most is that, and I won't even say which one it is, but they had a perfume that they still smell that was a unisex perfume, and it was worn by Marilyn Monroe and Winston Churchill. And I mean, those two smelling the same. It's just, it's knowing these figures more intimately than you maybe even want to. Sure, you know, nobody would think that Marilyn Monroe and Winston Churchill smelled the same. Yeah. You know,
I remember the first time I went with you on Village in Piccadilly, and we got to that chocolate shop, and suddenly there they were with two big silver trays with chocolates, and I couldn't quite believe it. How has she done this?
Well, they originally offered one, and I was like, the thing is, they wanted to offer their signature chocolate, which is amazing, which is the champagne truffle. But at the time, I was like, this walk is about the royals, so you have to give us the Queen's favourite one. And so they agreed to do so. So people got two chocolates, because I was like, you've got to give us what the Queen wants, you know? And so I loved that, you know, I loved how interactive that walk was, and I loved the, there's something in Piccadilly that's about all of the arts and sciences and the kind of mastery of London coming in into celebration, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, Piccadilly was the last walk I ever kind of did for London Walks.
So bring us up to date. You're in Brighton now. Tell your walkers how long you've been here, what you're doing, et cetera, et cetera.
I've been here like 6.5 years now. Yeah. And actually I did guide at first when I moved in here, but the commute got a bit too much really.
And what is it about Brighton?
Oh, Brighton is...
You're not the only London Walks guide, of course, who... Gillian lives here. And
Simon. Brighton is London on sea, as you very cleverly put it. And it is like a mini London on sea. For me, and I said that, you know, I've always loved Brighton. It's quirky and it's creative and it's political and environmental. And I think it was last summer you said, what is it? What is it about Brighton? And it really, that question really made me think about it. And the answer that came to me feels very important. In Brighton, my sexuality, my politics, my environmental beliefs, all of the things I care about are not tolerated, they are celebrated. And there is a difference between being tolerated and being celebrated.
Yeah, that's very well put.
This place, you know, this place was born, was created as a place for celebration and freedom and it was the Prince Regent's party place,
yeah.
and it's kept. You know, I remember one moment when I first moved to Brighton, and I saw something, and I was like, "That is the difference between Brighton and London." I saw two people having a barbecue in the Pavilion Gardens, and I was like, You just wouldn't get away with that in Kensington Palace Gardens.
Yeah, yeah,
but in Brighton, there is this permission
Very nice.
To be a little bit freer and a little bit more creatively you, if that makes sense.
So. I'm going to ask you about Starlight Express in a minute. But before that, now this is cheeky of me, but we're one of our walkers to ask... fancy a day trip to Brighton. Would you be able to show them around?
Of course. Of course, I would love to. I mean, my knowledge of Brighton is, I'd need some advance notice because I feel like I probably still know London better than I know Brighton in terms of its history. You know, London Walks gave me so much secret knowledge that because I haven't guided here, I would want to have to live up to London Walks' standard.
But the wonderful places you take us to, like
yes.
today, for example.
Yes, yes, that was, you know, we have visited some fabulous places, and actually Brighton is less of a history lesson. There is less here. It's more of an indulgence.
Oh, that's well put. Yeah, that's well put.
So it's more about indulging Brighton,
you
know?
Yeah.
So
how about Starlight? Tell us a little bit about Starlight.
Starlight is my business, and it does courses and ceremonies, and in normal times, not 2020, travel. That is about using ceremony and self-help practices and spiritual tools to become more empowered. I often say to people that ask about their path, that we are always walking our path. And I use the example that I used to be a tour guide in London, and now I am still a tour guide. It's just that I'm guiding people through layers of themselves.
That's well put.
And so, because I kind of believe that when we think of every job we have ever done, there is an essence that runs through it. It's like the dressing can change, but our essence never really changes. And then I say to people, for example, I'm a communicator. Like every job I've ever done, I've basically been yakking.
Yeah.
You know, basically talking.
Yeah. You take after your mother or your father?
And my grandfather, who I think actually wins the title of London Walks' greatest tour guide.
Did we have three generations going at once? Were you guiding when he was guiding, still guiding?
I think amazing. There was just an overlap.
Tiny overlap. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Yeah, amazing. Come on, we'll end on this because we got to hop on that train and get back to London. But what's the URL for Starlight?
Starlight-temple.com.
Starlight-temple.com.
Yes, but it's expect the unexpected.
That's great. Thanks very much, Kate.
Oh, you're very welcome. Right. Thanks, Dad.
All right, brilliant.